Nothing says pop culture rewind like drinking some Mr. Pibb. Tastes the same, too.
How about that? Go figure. All right.
Shit, if I would have brought a six-pack of Tab, then we would have gone fucking way back.
Tab? Get the fuck out of that shit. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind.
Okay, go.
This is Travis.
This is Chris. Whatever the fucking this shit is Chris.
Yeah. We don't know what this is
yet.
Yeah. Anyway, alright. So we're back with another episode. We just wrapped up our big Walking Dead series. So,
4 episodes in 40 minutes.
Yeah. If you want to see our take on the whole season of Walking Dead, go check it out. It's our playlist. We have just the Walking Dead playlist of season 7, so go check it out. But here, we're just going to kick it back a little bit. We're just kind of winging this episode just for fun.
Fun is the key word.
Yeah. So there's a couple things on the agenda this episode, is there not? What's that?
You can't see the glare right there. Now you can.
A little bit.
It's like, right there. Well, let me help you out a little bit.
For iTunes listeners, what are we looking at?
My Nintendo Switch.
Oh, we're talking about your Nintendo Switch?
Yeah, we did an unboxing on our pop culture episode. It's on the YouTube page. You can scroll it somewhere.
So,
I was wondering, is there any cool people that I know that have enough testicular fortitude, enough chutzpah to actually be my best friend and grab one of these for themselves?
Well, you keep saying that we're going to talk about your Switch.
Well, we've done talking about my Switch.
My Switch.
Oh my God! I have my Switch! Yes! Dude! It's moments like these, I wish I had a significant other, because your significant other,
yes,
Nancy Pants,
yes,
got you for your birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I bought Fast RMX, which is like F-Zero on steroids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also downloaded Alpha Mission 2 yesterday at the Washateria.
All right.
Using their free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do.
It's an old Neo Geo classic. Mm-hmm. If you like R-Type or Raiden Trad, that's the game. That's the game for you. Mm-hmm, I'm learning the buttons because the buttons here don't match. And they kept the old Neo Geo instructions and everything. Mm-hmm. So like A B C D does not match A B X Y on the thing. So I'm trying to figure that out on the fly.
Yeah.
But apparently everybody's talking about this Zelda game that for some reason has sold more copies than consoles. Travis.
Yes.
What have you been playing on your Nintendo Switch?
Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Shitballs!
Actually,
get into it! Yeah. Oh shit, I say get into it and he runs.
Because, just so you know, I'm not bullshitting.
Hey, you got the box!
Yeah!
That huge ass box and the game is...
It's in this, motherfucker!
It's that big!
Because it's in here. It fits like right in here.
And there's no instruction booklet.
You don't have a game, do you? You just have downloads.
I don't have any games.
Look, check it out. Bam, right in there. SD card there, and I forgot I was playing it, so I probably just fucked the shit up. Anyway,
there goes your save file.
Eh, it's fine. We'll put that shit to the test. See, here we go. See, look, it's already turned on and everything. Want to make sure. Yeah, there it is. Oh,
the software was closed because the game card
always
was closed.
Software before removing. Okay, well, I'll figure it out. I'll figure this out later. Whenever
I saw something else on there. What do you got on there? Show the people.
They can't see that on this. They can't see. Yeah, they can't see.
So that's Zelda right there.
Yeah.
The one next to it is a demo of
Peyo Peyo Tetris.
That's white people accent. It's Poyo Poyo Tetris.
That's what I said. Fucker.
Anything with Tetris, I'll give a shot. I read on Gizmodo, on IO9, Kotaku, there's a guy that made a Tetris game the size of a business card. It's like $45. I might grab it just so I can say I have it.
A Tetris game the size of a business?
Yeah.
What?
Like, there's a game, like a console, not a console, but like you can play Tetris on this little machine that's about as thick and as big as a business card. Why? Because you can. Isn't that the motto around here?
Damn. I guess I got this motherfuckers. I don't give a shit.
What are your first impressions of Breath of the Wild?
Breath of the Wild, okay. Man, it is, if I had to sum it up in one word, I would say ambitious. I've played many Zelda games over the years, and what the one thing they're always kind of known for is their storytelling. And it's gotten this better over the years.
Wind Waker.
Well, I've always had.
You haven't done the portable ones, have you?
On the old Game Boy ones. There's a Game Boy and Game Boy Advance.
You look completely oblivious to the DS era.
Yeah. For Nintendo as a system for me to own, I haven't owned any of the portable systems. I think Game Boy Advance is my last portable system I owned. Mm-hmm. GameCube, the Wii. And this, I totally like skipped over Wii U, and I actually had I had the Wii for about a year, and then I sold it. So I've been out of Nintendo's console bubble for however long Wii's been out, really.
7 years.
Yeah.
Well, you've had the Wii, so out of the year and a half that you had it, then after that we had the Wii U episode, and now we're into the Switch era.
Yeah.
I would think it's an error because it feels like
they have some, they set themselves up for a long haul on this thing. I think personally, and if you go back to our episode review of the unboxing, and even before that, we did a preview of it. We were talking about the Switch before we actually
games that were coming.
Yeah,
functionality, and lack of internet browser,
and I was I was kind of hesitant on it, honestly, when it first came out. I didn't like the marketing at all on it, because to me, mid-30 guy over here, like I'm.
You don't fly. You don't go to the park. You don't do shit with other people.
Yeah. So it's not marketing to me. It's not speaking to me as far as the gimmick itself goes. That being said, now that I have it, first of all, this Zelda game, it's incredible. Like. The graphics are one thing, you know, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful looking game. Just the storytelling, I've had it for a few days now, and I'm just now getting to like the main mission shit. Like
really?
There's a whole like setup to kind of learn the ropes type thing, and you have to do a few little side missions to get some skills going. And then you finally learn everything. And when they unveiled the main story of what's going on, man, it was really good. I was like, they got me. They got the hooks in me. And now I'm just like, I want to end this episode so I can go back and play it again.
You were actually playing some of it while I was preparing for our Walking Dead podcast that we just uploaded a few weeks ago, because I hadn't watched it. I was out of town. So while I'm watching it and going, oh my God, what am I watching? You're on the couch over here with your headphones. Just
No, it's funny because before that, I was like, you know, I'm thinking about playing the game. And you're like, because you can. And I was like, you know, right? Fuck it, I can. I popped it off the dock, put the headphones in.
Fully charged, ready to go. Yeah.
So that aspect is pretty cool.
And that's the part that I'm waiting for you to enjoy even more, because you've only had this for about 3 days, and you don't really go anywhere.
Not really.
So I'm waiting for you for a couple of weeks for you to actually have the option or for the opportunity to arise for you to take this to work. While you're at your lunch break, you pop up the dock, you separate the controllers, and you're just back there chilling.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're waiting to get your oil changed somewhere, or your tires rotated, you know, you're taking your wife somewhere to pick up food, and you're just sitting there in the car, you know, like, that's when you're going to realize, holy fuck, this is awesome.
Yeah. Well, just like, you know, even before today, like, I think it's last night or night before, you know, my wife was watching TV. I was like, yeah. I just started playing the game while she's watching TV. And now it's like that answer is a compromise that if you're married, you know, when she wants to watch TV.
In hindsight, would you have thought about getting a Wii U knowing what you know now with the Switch?
Probably still not. Just because the Wii U, it felt like they didn't really, like, the concept wasn't fleshed out all the way, I think, with the Wii U.
No, sir, I don't like it.
This feels like a fleshed out concept. We talked about it on our unboxing video. It's the size of an iPhone, pretty much. Just the screen itself, the console itself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, I'm just
I was staring at that hair too. I was like, oh my god, I hope you didn't already scratch it.
No. but yeah, it's so far so good, man. I'm really enjoying it. So
I've tried playing it like out in the open, undocked, with the stand and me having the controllers in my hand. I feel more comfortable just holding it in one big piece.
Yeah.
So far, like this feels, it's lighter than the Wii U tablet. I actually thought the Wii U tablet was a little heavier than this, but not by much, but a little bit. But I have big hands and this feels wide, so it doesn't feel like I'm like this.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten cramps playing the Game Boy Micro.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that small. But this feels like for somebody that has big hands, it's yeah. light and it gives
have you
room.
Been using the controller dock? Where you take the Joy-Cons off and put them in the holder? That was the first time I played. When I first played Zelda, that's what I was...
Here's my issue. I don't know if this affects everyone. So my Samsung 4K TV has three HDMIs, and one of them was for the dock. When I wasn't playing the game, when I had it docked and just sitting there charging, I'd be on my computer because one of the HDMIs, I had my laptop hooked up, and I'd do all my shit there. My TV would automatically recognize that it was trying to turn on or something, and it would automatically just switch from the HDMI cable with the computer to the HDMI on the Switch. And it happened so often that it aggravated me that I had to unplug it. So it's still charging, but the HDMI is not plugged in. And it actually, I don't know if it's turned me off completely, but ever since that has happened, I've been playing all of my time portably. I haven't been playing it on the TV.
Really?
Then again, Fast RMX, you got this old school Neo Geo game. That's not something I would... Well, Fast RMX looks pretty on the TV. But
you got some older games too. Which
yeah, so the graphics aren't going to help for me to just see it on the scene all blocky and shit. So, or who knows? I haven't even played the Alpha Mission 2 on the big screen. Maybe the graphics do look better. But being in the situation I am, I've already had my apartment broken into before. This is like my worry stone. Like I carry it around almost everywhere with me. I made an effort as soon as I could to buy the protector thing so that I can carry it around. Push come to shove, I can buy like a $5 charger connector cable at fucking like at CVS or whatever. This is not going anywhere. They can steal everything else in my apartment, but they are not taking that motherfucker. No. So.
Yeah.
But you've been playing on the. So have you tried the Joy-Con controller, or have you just been playing separate, just with your hands?
Yeah, I've tried a little bit of everything. Like I'm just kind of finding my comfort zone. You know,
Now, what are you pulling towards?
Right. Well, last couple times I've just been playing it just like this, but before that, it's been with the Joy-Cons in the controller handle thing on the big screen. That's it. Yeah, just because it's big.
Yeah.
But I normally don't do the Joy-Cons separately. It doesn't feel uncomfortable, like with the Joy-Cons, but it's just it feels too gimmicky when I'm playing like that.
I haven't played the Wii in so long.
Yeah.
When I had the Wii U, the tablet was so comfortable that I couldn't see myself playing Mario Kart the way I used to with the chuck and the stick. Once the tablet was stolen, I really haven't touched my Wii U at all because it just doesn't feel the same. Yeah. So this, I would prefer something steady. Yeah. So if it's not on the Joy-Con, then it's docked completely on the tablet, and I just play it like that.
One thing other episode we just did, where I was talking about the Comic-Con I was just at, and the reason I bring that up now is because I was in line. I actually met Billy West, voice actor, Fry from Futurama, the Red M&M, Stimpy from everything, all kinds of shit. But it took me like an hour to meet him because he was like talking to everybody and he's a nice guy too.
He makes sure you get your money's worth when you sign up.
And he was the cheapest. Like he was one of the cheapest celebrities I've met, you know. So more power to him. So anyway, but the reason I brought that up was because as I was like in the line, there's two dudes ahead of me. What were they playing?
Zelda. Wow.
One dude was talking to other people because at the time it was still like really fresh new, you know.
I dare you. Walk into a Best Buy, Target, Walmart, you're not going to run into one.
Oh, yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
So if you have one, you're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
But yeah, this like one dude in line, he was like saying he's like 100 hours into it and he's still not even like... He's, like, just doing side missions and shit. He's not even, like, close to weird.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of shit that I'm like dipping my toes into it right now. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
so you've dipped into Poyo Poyo. I saw on the friends list when you added me that you actually had just danced for a little bit.
That was for my wife.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything on that store, on that e-store right now that's compelling you to dip your feet into something else?
I'm kind of disappointed that there's no like classic NES games right now. Did you hear the news last week? All that talk about the NES Classic? It is now discontinued. They officially discontinued it.
So if you don't get one by the end of April,
you're probably not going to get one.
Yeah. They announced in that alert that was it for production for 2017. That doesn't mean they're going to come back. They could come back later. But as of today, assume you're shit out of luck if you don't have one. So,
have you been playing yours?
No. I played mine for about 3 weeks. And then when I got my hands on the Switch, an HDMI had to go. So it's all nice and boxed up in my box with all the remotes and everything, and I have not touched it at all. You know, and I have not thought about selling it either.
You know, the whole time while we had it, or while you were looking for it, we were both like, well, I'm not going to pay more than retail for it.
Which I didn't.
Right.
Somehow I magically came across
it. But now it's discontinued. So now if you wanted to sell that shit... get your money. Get some of that shit back.
Get paid.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird that they announced that it was discontinued. Like, I had a feeling that they knew from jump that this was going to be a limited edition type thing. And I just wish they said something to it. You know, I wish they had announced it, like brought it up as a limited edition.
I'm going to look at this at a different light. Holiday season, September, knowing that you got to put something in the Christmas tree. I don't even think Nintendo themselves knew how popular this console was going to be.
Maybe.
You know, that took a lot of people off guard. Even for me, as a Nintendo guy with three different tattoos on.
For us.
I was not expecting to have to camp out the night before for a console that's 30 years old with 8 games that I already have on a working console that I have now.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't... It caught me completely off guard. And that day that I couldn't find one, it like hit me like a ton of bricks that I fucked up, that I might never get it. And even though I was still steadfast, I was not going to pay over retail, not a cent over retail for it. I was trying to accept the fact that I might never get one.
I give up.
You know,
I just give up. Yeah, I give up.
You
know.
You know.
Now, the bright side of all that is, unless I. Was misinformed when we were talking about the Switch ahead of time. Isn't eventually those classic games, they're going to start popping up on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I still win, dude.
I haven't forgotten. They're doing free online for now.
Yeah.
But starting September, October, you are going to be paying a monthly fee.
Yeah.
But with that monthly fee, you'll be getting either one NES or one SNES game for free that will be online compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play F-Zero online against me and you, or we can do SNES Mario Kart, which was never available online.
Yeah.
We could be playing that against each other. So the fruit's going to grow. It's just time for the seed to go, you know? So yeah. It's being patient.
Not to mention,
right now, it's going to be a while because you can't find one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I don't think Nintendo really, for all the popularity that the Classic was getting, you had the confusion of, oh, is the Wii U is just a fucking extension to the Wii. It's not a new console. No. Confusion.
Mm. Right.
You would hate people to be confused to walk in there and say, I want the new Nintendo. You're either selling this old-ass thing that was 40 years old or you're getting that. Like, you don't want people getting confused on your product. On the business side, I can see why they want to hit the pause button, but I hope it's just the pause button and not the eject, because there's a shit ton of people that want one that are going to be as upset as you were at Comic-Con if they don't get it. You know?
Well, anyway.
And for everybody online complaining, like, dude, you can buy a Raspberry Pi, you can go on Etsy and you can find somebody that, like, laser printed a 3D cut of the thing and put it together yourself. That's not the point.
Right.
It's the nostalgia. It's the feeling you get when you score something after
playing. I have all those games on my computer right now. I have a controller. Yeah. I have a controller right there. I just plug it in. I'm playing my old Nintendo games. That's not the point.
We are toy hunters. The feeling that you get when you score the one find that you're trying to... Oh, you motherfucker! That feeling you get when you score, you're not going to get that billing some third market off party through eBay, like IKEA right. shit.
Yeah.
You want the real deal. You yeah. want legit. You want the poster that has the fucking NES, like, right. Feel the Power that I'm about to frame because it's the manual.
Mm.
Like, there's this whole fold-out manual, and then you flip it over, and it's this retro poster that came with nice. The 80s console.
Yeah.
You know, you want that. You're not going to get that shit at fucking Etsy or drawing up off of – you Google it and print it on the fucking –
it's the package.
It's everything.
Yeah, it's what yeah. you get. Yeah. So, anyway, that's it for our Nintendo talk, I think.
Unless yeah.
you had anything else. Yeah, on that.
No, that's good to go.
All right, what else we got?
Man, something came out this weekend. Well, depending on when you're listening. The Fate of the Furious.
Mm.
The eighth installment
Jesus.
Of a planned 10-part Fast and the Furious franchise. We're at number 8, Fate of the Furious. Were you optimistic or pessimistic walking into the theater knowing that 6 and 7 were not on the uphill? Because you've mentioned that 6 after 5.
A little pessimistic, I guess. Like, I didn't have high expectations for this movie at all. And I've come to expect over-the-top...
car porn.
Shenanigans. Yeah, car porn, pretty much. Listen, like... Whenever you have a previous movie and you have two supercars jumping out of windows in the tallest building in the world and going into the other building in Abu Dhabi, is that where it mm-hmm. was? And that was part 7? That was last
three
movie.
Buildings.
Yeah, it was three. It was tower
One,
jumps.
Two, three. Yeah.
Yeah, tower jumps. When you have tower jumps with cars...
How are you going to top that? And then they gave it away with the submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's where they got me. Because, not the submarine, they hooked me. It's like, all right, they made a leak, obviously, in the commercial that Dom's going to betray his family.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there now. This reminded me of Logan. Not just because I like the movie so much, but in a sense that if you watch Logan by itself, if you've never seen anything else, if you've been living under a fucking rock, you can still like Logan for what it is. But if you've been invested... in the Logan character and Hugh Jackman since 2000 with the original X-Men movie, you're going to get teary through this, through a lot of Logan.
Yeah.
Fate of the Furious is enough car porn that anybody will like it if they just want to disconnect their brain and watch things go boom, boom, pow.
Yeah.
But if you've been watching from the last 7, which we have a podcast on if you want to Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've been watching from the very beginning, knowing the story with Dom Toretto, knowing that Paul Walker's passed away, you have enough emotional investment in this that you're going to appreciate it on another level than a casual person would. And so...
Hold that thought for a second. Before we continue, just in case you... Because you like... Splat yeah. out. Spoilers. Just in yeah. case. I don't know if we're going to spoil anything, but just in case...
Oh, we are.
Okay, we're going to yeah. spoil things. So, spoiler alert. Spoiler.
Is this where you add the graphic alert. On post where it's like that huge blinking thing? Yeah.
If I feel like it. I don't know.
So, being watching this movie from jump, from 1 to 7, even Tokyo.
But you said you like Tokyo.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people don't.
Okay.
When you're telling me that he's going to break code, there has to be a big plot hook
yeah.
for that to happen. That got me into the theater. On Thursday night, before the movie was even released to the general public, that was the hook that got me in the chair to figure out what would it be, and would it be enough to keep me through the entire movie, or would I just walk out?
Yeah.
Good fuck, was it enough?
They got you. They got you.
They fucking got me. From the very beginning, the antagonist is like, "Bitch, I already got you, and you don't even fucking know it." I was like, "God damn, Charlize, what has she got?" You know? Oh my god.
Do you want to say the reveal, or do you want to have people go out and see it?
No, I mean, most of this episode is supposed to be about this movie anyway, so we're just going to go into it. We start with a race. Dom wins the race, earns the guy's respect, blah, blah, blah. So
no,
there is drag racing
no,
in this movie.
No, hold on. No, we're not going to move it, though. The shenanigans start, the car porn starts at this first race. He's got this...
If it has for the franchise to remind you that, hey, they do still drag race... Let's start the movie with a drag race.
Well, and plus, there's a payoff.
Later on.
Later yeah. on with this guy he's racing. Apparently, he's like this big kingpin.
He's big yeah, deal.
In Havana?
Cuba, yeah.
yeah. And it was actually a nice intro, I thought. Like, seeing Dom and Letty on their honeymoon, just kind of chilling out.
Re-honeymoon.
Yeah, really. So, apparently Dom has a cousin, mm-hmm. and he was in some trouble. He didn't pay this dude who gave him this car. And this old shitty beat down, it's the slowest car in the whole place, whatever. And he, basically, Dom was siding with the dude against his cousin at first. He's like, dude, you
owe him. You and owe then him. The dude was like, yeah, bitch, you're gonna owe me. He's like, oh, wait, you don't talk to him like that now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it had a nice startup. It had a good like feel going into it. But then he says, I'll race you in this piece of shit car. And then, I don't know.
It was funny. Like, I was like, man, there's...
How's he going to win?
Yeah, how's he going to win?
Dude, come on.
It's funny. But by then, again, you've gone through all seven episodes. So if Dom can fly in the air and catch Letty so she doesn't die and crash into a windshield, you know you have to suspend your disbelief just a titch.
Just a titch.
A couple of titches.
Throw that shit at the fucking window. Set it on fire. God damn.
Kill it with fire. And Dom somehow pulls something out of his ass and beats the guy.
The car was on fire.
And in reverse. And instead of taking the dude's car, he's like, your respect's enough. You keep your car. And then
did you know that was going to be a payoff? You didn't think? The way that guy was looking, when they had that last pan shot, like, of like the dude looking at Dom, like, okay, he's going to be a new player. He's going to be a new...
I didn't think so.
He's going to be a new team player. I knew it right then and there. I was like...
I didn't.
Anyway, okay.
And he let him keep the car. He got his respect. And he gave his cousin his El Camino. Impala?
Impala, yeah.
Oh, my God. An Impala.
A little red and white.
Yeah. Gave it to him. And everybody's happy. Yay. There was also, during that scene, Dom was helping out a father and his kid, looking at his car and going through some stories. And Letty's like, I can see you being a dad one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like,
and there's some foreshadowing.
And then Dom's like, bitch, you pregnant? He's like, nah, but, you know,
yeah.
Maybe. The door's not closed.
That was some foreshadowing.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I walked in here with a clean slate because I...
Yeah,
so
that's what foreshadowing is.
I didn't think much of it.
You're not supposed to.
I'm not supposed to, and I didn't. I was still hooked on the car horn.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So we get that, and then Dom's walking in or walking down the street with some
groceries. He shops like a normal human being, like the rest of us.
And then he stumbles upon this chick with a broke down car.
Mm-hmm.
He fixes it, and she says Dom. She says his name.
She talks to him like she's known this fool forever.
Yeah,
and he's just now seen her, and he knows something's up.
Your fuel relay's out. I know. Like she had. Yeah. So it was a setup. They got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she hands him a phone, and basically she was like, "I've come to get you to work for me." He's like, "Oh, well, I could save you the trouble. I don't work for anybody, you know." And then so she hands him the phone, and he sees something. We don't know what it is yet. And before we know it, we cut to a mission. He gets a phone call and says, hey, we need you in Germany. There's a thing, EMP is being stolen or whatever. And then I thought that was interesting. They just like cut right to it and the mission's already over. Like they're like ending the mission. I thought that was kind of neat. Like cut it to the point.
You know they're gonna take it.
Yeah, so it cut to the chase, you know, and that's where we got that clip from the commercial with the big wrecking ball coming down.
That was cool.
Yeah. You missed some, did we? And then he comes back and knocks through some. And that was when... Dom, he, you know, knocks
turns
him.
On him.
Yeah,
goes heel. I mean, rogue.
Yeah,
sorry for you non wrestling fans. yeah, steals it for this chick's name Cypher.
Yeah.
We go further into detail, and it turns out that without knowing, Dom's fucked up her plans twice. So already, the fact that they're using previous movies, that this isn't just a straight-up reboot.
Right.
Already, for people that have been invested from the very beginning, your time has not been wasted.
Yeah.
It still has value. And boy, do they cash in on that value.
She was behind Owen Shaw's plan and the dude from
Decker.
Part 7. No, no, no. The dude with the gun runner from the last movie, I think.
Oh, I just saw this a few days ago.
The dude that was also in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he says, who? You know, that guy, I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. She was behind both those plans, and Dom fucked that up, and then that's what got her. And she even said, I wouldn't even be looking in your direction if you didn't fuck my shit up.
twice. So she had to go fuck some shit up.
And did she?
In between Letty's passing, Dom got some of that that Brazilian Punani. Yeah, the cop from Fast Five.
Yes.
That bled into part six where they were, you know, turned out he knocked her
she
up.
She wasn't in part seven at all.
No.
No. Okay, so it was part six where she, like, they get Letty back in part six. And she says goodbye. It's like, no, she's...
That's y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we thought that was going to be the write-off of that character. Mm-hmm. Nuh-uh. So...
She had a son.
Yeah.
She had his son.
Yeah.
And they were held hostage. And fuck.
Yeah.
To Dom's credit, he still stayed to his code of family. His family. Right. His own flesh and blood. That... As some, we have friends. We have family. Mm. We know some rival over others. But if you were to have your own kid, you know that. Fuck everybody else.
Yeah.
Fuck even you if I had a kid. Turns out the test came out negative and, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
But he still lived up to his code. His chain of command is what changed.
Right.
You know, having his own kid. He was trying. He was doing what he was told. And then he tried to veer off. And for veering off, fuck, the chick got killed off. The mom. Yeah. I was like, fuck.
I heard about killing off a character, but damn, they really killed off the character. But the reason that happened was, okay, first they stole the EMP. And that's what set everything off. Yeah. Right. And the second, the Russian nuclear codes. Oh, yo, Lord Jesus.
Talk about car porn. Zombie car porn, apparently, is what they called it.
Can we talk about this little plot device here, the God's Eye? Was that in part seven? Was that something?
Yes. Okay. That's all part seven.
Okay.
That was what the second fuck up that Dom did was the chick that both the rappers are trying to bang.
Right.
She created God's Eye. She was trying to steal it.
She was Cypher, a hacker or something in part seven.
And Cypher was a hacker that was trying to steal it, but Dom thwarted them again. Okay. So that's how the chick from Game of Thrones, that's doing the dude from the Unsullied, that's how she's in this entire picture, and that's how the God's Eye played out.
Okay. Part seven is like, I have like almost like a blind eye to that movie because I watched it once in the theater, but it was everybody was talking about Paul Walker at that time. Like that's all
that got you in the theaters. How they're gonna handle Paul Walker?
And it felt like,
and they were teasing you several times that he's gonna die to the point where he's like, just fucking do it already. And then they don't kill him. And he just rides off into the sunset.
To the point, they even mention him in this movie.
Yeah, it's like, this was part of the deal. They're not involved anymore.
We're not going to...
We can't bother them. We can't bother me and Brian. They're doing their
own thing.
That's a good way to cover it up. That was a really good way to cover it up, actually. Yeah.
But, on the same token, on a franchise that's been known for the last few movies to bring back people, I get it.
Dude, they even brought back the Mexicans from part four.
Dude, I love that, man.
Yeah, and part five. Yeah. But, dude, they like, man.
They had a very small role.
Short of Mia, they brought back damn near... Short of Mia and Eva Mendes from Too Fast, Too Furious, they've brought back damn near everybody.
Yeah.
In this movie, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a pause on the story part of this. Let's talk about The Rock for a second.
Did you smell what he was cooking in this movie?
No.
No?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. What did you think of his little opening scene with the stalker mom coach thing? Dude, that was so like Dwayne Johnson and not like Hobbs.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, dude. He's so well known at this
point. He has to be cool because he knows the Tay-Tay reference. Oh my God, Manny Petty's for everybody. I could have done without that entire scene.
Yeah, it was so over the, like, not even like funny. Like, I wasn't even laughing. I was like, I get that. I guess they're trying to appease like the girls and the chicks that like Dwayne Johnson, but as a character, that was not Hobbs. I'm sorry.
Not to mention, ladies, he's not the only eye candy in that movie. I mean, dude, Jason Statham played a fucking role in this movie.
I love the chemistry between Jason Statham and The Rock in this movie.
WrestleMania 34, book it.
Right. Just from the start, and we saw some of this in the commercials with them in prison.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat your ass like a Cherokee drum, you know.
Do you think that reflects from personal history, because even during part six filming, there were rumors going out since we went into the wrestling knowledge that there was some heat between Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel.
No, that
and there was and there was still, and I think there was still heat to the point where instead of Dwayne being the buddy buddy with Vin, he's going to be buddy buddy with someone else so that they don't have to be together all the time, so that the elements don't combust.
Well, all that started with eight, the whole melodrama bullshit. He doesn't like he doesn't like him, whatever. It's too big. It's two big egos. You have Rock's ego.
You have Groot and The Rock.
Yeah, you can't, like, there's the two, there's not, the room is not big enough for the two of you. Yeah. I think it's all well built down. Two alpha males.
Depends who wears the tighter shirt.
But apparently, rumor was, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently, there's that one, the great scene in the garage when Jason Statham and The Rock are, like, they're like shit talking each other, but
working on the car. But they are—they're already like, I like you because
I'm gonna—I'm gonna punch your teeth down your throat so far you're gonna throw a shove your toothbrush up your ass to brush your teeth. And they both started laughing at that point. I was like, okay,
there's money.
Yeah, there's money here. And but apparently, they filmed like another scene without Vin Diesel knowing it to set up a spinoff of them two.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
And apparently,
towards the end of that movie, dude, I would love to see a spinoff between the Shaw brothers and Helen Mirren as the mom.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. That came
that
out.
That was fucking awesome, dude.
That was
like King, like Mrs. Kingpin, and Vin's like, look, I'm fucked. I need your help. This is how I can fix it, and I can get both of your sons out and clear them. To the fact that we got both the Shaw brothers and the mom like faking crying so that Jason could be like, you saw so many sides of Jason Statham that I have never seen in like War or Transporter or what other fucking movies has he been in? All these like,
it's kind of like that in Spy though, like Spy. Yeah,
like he has fucking personality, and this is the first movie I've seen that actually accentuates it all.
Now I just said just a while ago, Devil's Advocate here. Okay, so beginning of this movie, that was Dwayne Johnson. That wasn't Luke Hobbs. Towards the end, that was more Jason Statham than Deckard Shaw was, I think. Because remember, like, we're supposed to hate Deckard Shaw. Like, he's a fucking bad guy. Like, he killed fuckers.
Yeah.
So is Owen Shaw. Like, these are bad guys we're not supposed to like. But goddamn, if, like, I totally forgot Deckard Shaw is a fucking
As soon as a greater evil comes, all the lesser evil become good for the case of killing the greater evil.
But, like, they, like, flipped a switch just like
so
that.
So quick.
You know, I don't know, was it too jarring or was it, did it feel good or?
Oh, man, the humor made it easier to swallow.
Yeah. And there's a, during the aforementioned nuclear launch code heist, between the raining cars, which being zombified because they can control everything. Oh, fuck. Jesus, this is everywhere. So they get this limo, gets surrounded by falling cars, and Vin Diesel comes out like like the fucking Terminator, like with the mask on and the big fucking chainsaw, like walking on cars. And
the shield.
Yeah.
Like zombie Captain America.
Dude, like, come on. But okay, so he gets the fucking the codes. So he's walking away. I love the fact that, okay, well, he gets away, but his team corners him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we see in the trailer with the
pulleys, the cords. Yeah.
They draw and quarter him pretty much, like a horse, pretty much. And they're pulling him apart. And he gets out. He escapes that. And there's a big pileup after that. They call crash. Vin takes the thing. He starts running away. Deckard was the first one to start chasing after him. I love that. There's something about it. It was so subtle. But it was the fact that his character, I think for me, that was when his character flipped that switch. So, mm-hmm. Like, he's a good guy now, I think. Because he's the first one to go after him.
Yeah.
I love that. And then when, you know, he shoots him, you know, Vin Diesel shoots the guy. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. But
then you remember in the prison, they use sandbags. That part was the foreshadowing I did get. I was like, oh, this fool's not dead.
What was that?
In the prison, when they tried to do the breakout, and before they teamed them together, The Rock got shot at.
Right.
And he was like, oh, sandbags. That's the second mistake.
Rubber bullets.
Yeah. Like, that's the second mistake.
But Vin didn't have, Vin's character didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, but the fact that they were used made me believe there's no way that Jason Statham's going to get fucking killed off in this movie.
No, he got shot because we find out later on, I mean, they had to revive his ass.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, it looked like to me, like, bam, bam. Like, I thought he shot him in, like, safe places. But even then, even when in the next scene, Scott Eastwood's character, he was like, he didn't make it. I was like, bullshit. Yeah. I did not see a body. That fucker's coming back in the third act. Guess what, motherfucker? Him and his brother fucking paragliding into that fucking plane, dude. Like, fucking bosses. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, man.
Like, this movie's fucking bananas. But it's good bananas. It's like, it's...
They're ripe and ready to eat.
Yeah. Like, I saw a review online about this movie, and it's like, Fast and Furious franchise is like the best worst movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't go in here thinking it's going to be realistic.
Yeah.
Because they've thrown that shit out the window back when they've thrown that money out. That's been thrown out a long time ago. But
the best review I've read was what Fast Five did to re-energize the entire franchise. Furious 8 or Fate of the Furious revitalized the lull that 6 and 7 did. You know, 5 was like the top of the bell curve. 6 and 7, they didn't live up to 5.
No.
5 might be one of the greatest like action movies
this generation.
Yeah. This might be it.
Yeah.
But 8, like, it's right there now. Mm-hmm. I would think, in my opinion, after watching it, I might need to watch it again. But I haven't been entertained with a Fast and Furious movie like I did with 8 since 5.
You know, and you're onto something on that because, for me, yeah, 5 is my favorite one of the series, bar none. Like, I
recently I watched it yesterday, on a whim, because I didn't have nothing to do. I was like, I just watched Fast, the Fate. It's like, I'm going to watch 5. I like 5 a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
Yeah.
But 6 was, like, so over the top with the tank and the catching lady. And just a storyline with her just in general coming back. 6 was kind of... 7 was like the Paul Walker thing, and it was like the movie itself was like an afterthought to see what they're doing with Paul Walker, I thought.
Yeah.
So I wasn't invested in the story of 7, and 6 just like kind of turned me off altogether. So yeah, 8.
So knowing that there's 9 and 10 coming, I am extremely optimistic.
Extremely.
After 8.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely. Wow, okay.
Again, this is coming from somebody that, number one, loves car porn, and number two, has been invested emotionally a lot since the first movie.
Okay. Well, with that being said, towards the end of this movie, well, the whole wrap up, you know, Luke Hobbs, he's reinstated. He has the chance to be reinstated back in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I think it's time for me to take a break. Do you think he's just going to be a solo player going forward, or is he, that was a write off for his character? Do you think they're not coming back for the next one? Because if the rumors are true with him and Vin not getting along, would he want to come back for another one? Or, because you could it's arguable to say that The Rock re-energized this series.
Yeah.
You know. But do you think they're going
to
write his character
off? That's a lot of money to be putting on the table if you have guys like Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, and The Rock on the same payroll for these next two movies.
Hmm.
You've already rejuvenated Jason Statham's involvement in the franchise.
Right.
Vin Diesel's a staple. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
If not to call it fat, but if you're trying to trim something off that movie, you did a hell of a job doing it with Hobbs. Wouldn't shock me if we don't see if
it was a good. That last scene, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't come back.
Yeah.
Because it was a good write off. You know, wants to spend time with his daughter. Whatever. Be a soccer mom. I don't give a shit. But because if we're going to get more of Dwayne Johnson and not Luke Hobbs, just go away. to say he's not entertaining.
It scratches my head. Like, after everything we got out of Fast 8, where do you go with 9 and 10? Space?
Oh, shit. I said about 10, we're going to have a space shuttle. If they're having a submarine in 8, goddammit, 10, they're going fucking outer space. I'm just kind of bullshitting, but I'm kind of half serious.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Hey, Elon Musk, let's sell some Teslas. Let's make them fly. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, character and story-wise, Cypher got away. You want to talk about the Jason Statham scene with him saving the baby?
Again, gotta really suspend disbelief with fire.
And I think a lot of people that said, okay, he's not a bad guy anymore. That's him turning.
Over the top good guy.
Yeah. He put the headphones on the baby, put it on Alvin the Chipmunks, and then went to town killing everybody. It would have been fine if it was kind of short and sweet, but it was dragged out for a while.
It was kind of odd to see. Again, I've seen a lot of Jason Statham action movies, and he's used a lot of weapons. But having the baby carrier, it was a little off-putting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little.
Held him back a little bit.
Yeah. The chemistry, him laughing and making the baby face, that's one thing. But dodging bullets while holding a baby, well, giving the appearance that he's holding a baby, right, and dodging bullets, a little squeamish, just a little bit.
You're thinking that after everything's said and done, he's killed everybody, he's going to look around, there's like a bullet hole in
the
face. Ooh, that took a wrong turn.
The baby starts going,
right?
That's what happens when you listen to the chipmunks, I guess.
Throw out the window. But I don't know. What happened to Owen Shaw?
They're together. Owen was in the plane. He was,
right, he was piloting.
He took over the pilot. Right. Yeah. So they're all good. Hmm. They were all together in the, I think Owen was there on the rooftop at the end.
And another family dinner. You know, another aspect of the whole bringing in Helen Mirren as the mom. That's like, you know, the whole theme of this franchise is family, right? And there's another family that they just integrated into this. To me, it felt a little rushed, honestly. Like, okay, but you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It made storyline wise, I guess it made sense. I mean, the flashbacks and explaining everything what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine. Like I said, this wasn't a bad movie. It was enjoyable, but it's just so over the top. Like, but at this point, I'm used to it. So yeah, enjoy it while you can. I mean, enjoy it for what it is. You know, it was fun. What do you think? Is that your?
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it a lot. Easily not the best. Easily not the worst Fast and the Furious movie if you're ranking them all.
Not the best.
It's not the best, but dude, it's gonna take a lot to beat 5.
I'll probably say 5-1-8, maybe.
5-1-8, yeah. That's gotta be a zip area code to some fucking city. But yeah, 5 is the top, and then number 1 because of the classic.
Yeah.
And 8's right up there. Yeah.
Yeah. This is my top 3. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I know you gotta get going. So.
Well, as far as transitions, you made a hell of a segue because there's movies that are fun that you just gotta suspend your disbelief. One of those is The Last Knight, Transformers. It's coming out in a couple of months.
You said fun.
Oh. I guess I'm in the minority. I'm in the extreme minority.
Yeah, but, we are going to be releasing at some point.
Hopefully before the movie.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout.
Anticipation for Transformers 5, The Last Knight.
Yeah.
We're going to throw out our best of the best and worst of the worst moments of the Transformers movie franchise, from 1, Revenge of the Fallen,
Dark of the Moon,
and Age of Extinction.
Yeah. So, if you haven't subscribed to already, hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel, or subscribe to us on iTunes, wherever you listen to us at. That episode will be coming out hopefully sooner than later. Tell us what you think of the show. What do you think about the show? We're just kind of winging this episode. We had no strategy on this episode. We're just like, fuck it. We saw this. We saw that. We have this. Let's do it.
And we played this.
Yeah. So, do some comments below. Tell us what you think. Do you have the Switch? Are you playing the Switch? What games do you play? Are you stuck on Zelda like I am? I'm not really stuck, but, you know, I'm just, I probably will be by the time.
Will you ever get too stuck that you'll either go on YouTube or buy a book just to make sure you can beat it?
Bitch, I already did. I got a bookmark on my... Whatever. So, anyway.
You fell me yet again, Starscream.
I had to get the game going, man. Like, it's like enough of this prelude shit. Get me to the shit. Anyway. Whew. I need a drink. You gotta get going.
I gotta go. I gotta work.
So, until next time, I guess we're gonna wrap this up.
Where can they find us?
It's right here. YouTube.com/PopCultureRewind. Hit the subscribe button. Pop culture,
Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind,
and on the YouTubes, and on the Twitter,
on the Tweety Tweets, on Twitter,
on a Twitter machine,
yeah. Pop culture RWND.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. If you can't stand to see our ugly faces,
iTunes,
get glasses or iTunes, yeah.
Take the glasses off, that might help too.
Spotify, Stitcher,
wherever, somewhere,
we're out there,
yeah. So until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
When's the last time we did a back-to-back?
I don't know.
No?
I'm tired.
No, half my day hasn't even started yet.
All right, you gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. Top guys.